This episode is brought to you by Square. If you run a restaurant or business, Square has the tools to help you stay connected to customers, shift your business, and navigate this uniquely challenging time. Learn more at square.com/go/speakeasy.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Fellas, how are we doing?
We are scattered,
hanging in there,
scattered and tossed and distant from one another, but we're doing our thing.
Yeah, doing the thing.
Yep.
Yeah, man. We it's honestly like it's not so bad. You know, like it's been kind of fun to do these remote recordings because we've had a lot of really interesting guests on that, you know, didn't maybe have it in their travel schedule to come to Brooklyn, New York, and sit in the studio with us. So it's been really, I've been enjoying it. I don't know about you guys.
No, yeah, well, I mean, it's fun. It's fun to just have all three of us in the studio. Like, this has never happened before. And thanks to the magic of technology and a global virus pandemic, here we all are.
Thanks, COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus.
You know, thanks for the small silver linings that we can find. But yeah, I'm certainly enjoying that we've been getting people from further places away and being far away from one another. You know, you're on the West Coast. Greg and I are both here in New York City, but in separate places. So, and we can, you know, tack into the crew at HRN and everything's working out great. So I'm pretty pleased with it, honestly.
Yeah, totally.
And the fact that we're cranking out two shows a week right now because we're highlighting a lot of things that are important and need to get out there regarding what's going on with the crisis.
Yeah, we're going to hit that 400 mark before you know it.
Real fast.
before the Tales Awards start, you know?
Yeah, before the digital Tales Awards begin. Like, you know, we had Caroline Rosen on not too long ago, and we talked about how that's going to wind up playing out. I'm excited to see how it goes. I'll be obviously pretty bummed to not be in New Orleans, but I'll be excited to see what they come up with and how we turn it out. You know, entertainment and hospitality are hand in hand. We'll figure out something to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just looking at our website on heritageradionetwork.org, where you can find the Speakeasy. See, you like that plug just now? On your photo, on the website, on this, it's a really old one, man. You need to update that. You're not wearing your red glasses. So I don't know if anyone would even recognize you these days. So let's get you a new photo, man. We should get one for Greg, too.
I'll get that.
Yeah. So what are you guys drinking on right now?
I am sipping on some rum. I've got some Diplomatico Reserva Exclusiva, and that's going to tie into today's show.
Oh, wow, me too.
Me too. What a strange coincidence.
Well, cool. Are you guys making cocktails? I'm just drinking it neat.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, same.
I'm not too big on cocktails at home, although COVID has made me a little bit more interested in them. I typically just drink stuff neat. I don't even bother with ice. So I'm just sipping on some rum, and it feels pretty good. It's a nice sunny day here in New York City. The skies are remarkably clear. I think that's because, you know, less automobiles have been on the streets for 70 days now. So it's, you know, again, some silver linings to this whole nonsense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I haven't been a big cocktails at home person for a while, but I did this past week throw in the first batch of freezer daiquiris for the summer. So that's been, I just killed off the leftovers of that a little while ago. And now I've switched to straight rum because it's 3 p.m. It's time to switch to straight spirits.
Yeah. It's noon here. So,
yeah, we heard the noon bells ringing off the air when you went away to make your drink.
Yeah. To make my drink.
to pour your drink, whatever.
It takes a lot of skill to pour rum in a glass.
Hey,
but
that's why they don't let anybody do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't shed too much light behind the curtain, man.
No. You know, honestly, like my regimen is, it's usually neat or I just do highballs. I probably have to get my SodaStream cartridge replaced like every other week. That's how many highballs I make.
Damon, they make an adapter that you can put in there and connect it to like a full size tank.
Well, I mean, I take this thing with me camping.
You could still do that, but I'd have to pay.
You know, I mean, like, it needs to be somewhat portable. I don't need a full tank. And also, like, I like going to my local kitchen store, like cooking store that has the SodaStream refills, and you know, give them some business, and usually find a couple of knickknacks to add to the kitchen tool collection. And
I'm sure you're giving them the business.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of rum and delicious rum that we're all sipping on, Greg, why don't you bring in our guest?
Sure, absolutely. So today we have Edward Beasley from Diplomatico. You are the global brand ambassador for Diplomatico. Is that right?
I'm the global marketing director for Diplomatico. And yes, hi, everyone. Good to be on your show.
Edward, welcome. Where are you at the moment?
So I'm in New York City.
Oh, okay.
Now, so I've been in the same place for about 3 months now.
Yeah, we've all been in the same place for 3 months now. Yeah, nobody's moving around.
Yep.
Is this home base for you normally? Are you normally based in New York, or did you kind of get stranded here?
No. I am normally based here. I do travel a lot though, and actually came back from Europe on the 9th of March, which was like 2 days before they closed the flights coming from Europe. So
right, yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That was like, I remember distinctly, I remember that week very vividly of like, I could pinpoint kind of like the day when things got weird. It was that Wednesday, right? Exactly. So you beat it by like 48 hours.
Exactly. So wow. Yes, because being stranded for 3 months somewhere is not exciting. Even with Diplomatico would be tough.
This has put a halt to everything that all of us do, but your job is kind of to be traveling all the time. So it's really put a shutdown on what you do, right?
Well, it has definitely changed our lifestyle and our working style, absolutely. And, about 80% of our business is in Europe. So we do spend quite a bit of time in markets in Europe. So it has given us an opportunity, I guess, to do some bit more thinking and do things that we hadn't had time to do in quite a while, catch up on things. So, you know, we always try to find the positive things out of those kind of situations, I guess.
Yeah, of course. I would like to maybe start the show off by talking about, you know, the products that you make, and then, you know, sort of the happy side. And then we'll talk about like all the things that are having to change during COVID. So let's talk about the rums that you produce and how you do it. It's a family owned business. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, it is. It is a family owned business. Four families that have joined together basically to make this great brand. It's based in Venezuela, and so the production facilities is in La Miel, which is close to Barquisimeto, but 300 miles southwest of Caracas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a company that's been around since 1959, basically, and the distillery has been active, since then, producing mostly rum, but also other spirits, and it used to be owned by Seagram, actually, at the time, that was doing a lot of whiskeys, and that's why we now have a lot of different distillation equipments that enable us to have pretty unique rum style. So
right, I mean, it was 2002 that the families kind of bought it out, right? So now it's not owned by a big Seagram's company; it's owned by those four families, and you have access to batch kettle stills, pot stills, and continuous stills. So you're employing that to make mostly just rum, right?
Exactly. That's what we use to do our rums. And that's really, you know, one of the key aspects of our story and how unique we are using those different distillation processes.
For the listener, can you talk a little bit about what those three different things do? I think Damon and Greg and I are pretty up to speed on those methods, but maybe if you could just give some insight to the listener on what the difference between column, batch, kettle, and pot stilling is.
Yeah, well, the column we have is comes from France, and it's basically a continuous process, whereas the batch kettle and the pot still are one from Canada and the other one from Scotland, and they happen in two times basically. You have a first batch and then you distill it again. So that's really the key difference between the two, and they give us some rum styles that are quite different from sort of lighter styles to sort of heavier, more intense styles. And then it is the blending of those styles, depending on each of our products, that really gives a different profile to each of our products. So the younger products, such as Montuano, have more lighter style rums, and the older products, such as Reserva Exclusiva or even our prestige range, such as the single vintage, have more intense, heavier rums, so to speak.
Right. And which one, where does the, I'm sorry, the Reserva falls into which one of those categories?
Reserva Exclusiva is a 12-year-old rum, and it falls into the sort of the heavier category. About 80% of the blend is made of heavier rums. And having said that, I mean, I think the particularity also of Diplomatico is that it's all our rums are particularly smooth and easy easy to drink, and that's what I think has made the success around the world. You know, we take a Reserva Exclusiva drink, and it's full of flavor. It's smooth. It's really easy to drink. And if you want, you know, it's typically a sipping rum, obviously, but if you actually want to mix it, it works pretty well as well. I know my favorite these days is to actually take it on the rocks with coconut water rocks, which melt very slowly and give the Reserva Exclusiva, you know, a sort of a little evolution as you drink it, and it's a great drink.
Yeah, I love that. I've done that many times in the past. It's delicious. 12 years, that's a pretty lengthy aging for a rum. Is the climate a little cooler in that part of Venezuela, or?
No, it's actually a pretty pretty warm area, and yes, you're right. You know, they're in the rum category. There's no need for super old aging to really feel the age. The fact that we are in a warmer climate makes the evaporation much higher than it would in the northern hemisphere, for example. Mm-hmm. And it condenses the flavors quicker. So, you know, we usually say that one year of aging in that part of the world is probably equivalent to 3 years in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. What's the percentage loss? What's the percentage that evaporates to the angel's share?
It's about 7 to 8%.
Wow!
So it's massive. Actually, when you think about it, it means that, you know, once after 12 years, you have very little left in the barrel.
Right, so that 8% is year over year, right?
Yeah.
So that's incredible.
Yeah. It's quite a lot. And what's really interesting as well is, you know, the barrels, they are stacked on top of each other, and they are also placed in in different sort of warehouses, if you will. And it's quite interesting to see that, you know, there is a difference whether the barrel is at the bottom or at the top of the pile, basically. It will age a bit differently, at a slightly different rhythm. Some parts are a bit cooler than others, etc. So that's why it is an art to blend rums, because you really have to play with a lot of differences coming from every barrel.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Like, you don't typically see rums aged for that length of time based on that loss, right? That's an expense that the company has to endure to create a product like that.
Yeah, it's you know, that's part of the equation. We have over 200,000 barrels that are aging, we obviously have some that age for less time than that, but overall, it is indeed quite an investment, and also. More importantly, it's really a story of passion and really, you know, just living year after years with the evolution of those barrels and trying them every year and seeing how they evolve, etc. I mean, it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's definitely it toes the line between craft and art to be able to do that. So that's all about the rum, and it's delicious stuff, and we're sipping on it right now. I hope you're enjoying it, gentlemen. I'm enjoying mine. I have in my notes here that you wanted to talk about what it's like to run a business in Venezuela during COVID, or even just in general. You know, Venezuela has gone through a lot of changes in a short amount of time. The Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, the full name, right? What's it like to run a business down there?
Yes, look, it's true that we've been working through you know, an economic crisis for many years now, which has made us need to adapt a little bit and be also extremely flexible in the way we work. I think more importantly, and of course during the COVID period as well. The most important thing is to make sure that we treat our people well, and that you know, whether it be because of this health crisis or any time, that our people are safe and well cared for. It's been a commitment for the families to. You know, to be there and stay there and continue to invest in the country because they believe in the country. But it's been a challenge, and they've really had to stick together. But you know, they are an important part of the region when it comes to supporting the families around this area. About 1,500 families are dependent on the distillery over there, and you know, we work very closely together. We have a lot of programs to help our people locally, and it's, you know, it's been challenging and at the same time very exciting, because we've over those last, you know, 10 to 15 years, we've been able to share Diplomatico around the world. And then, you know, we started from, you know, nothing outside Venezuela to now being in over almost 100 countries in the world. So it's, you know, while it's been a difficult period, it's been also a very exciting period for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we're hearing over and over, especially with the COVID part. I mean, I understand that things have been going on longer than that strife in Venezuela, but you know, the barriers that COVID is creating is also generating you know, new perspectives on how to get things done. So, you know, even though it's a difficult time, it's an exciting time, right?
Yes, it's enabled us to indeed think of new ways of working, new ways of communicating with both the trade and consumers. You know, it's pushed us to be more creative, and I think it's also making us think about, you know, the future and maybe how we can be, you know, even more human, even more into sustainability and authenticity and all those values that are obviously coming out more and more importantly in this context.
Well, yeah, and that's one thing I sort of wanted to ask you. That's a thing that we've heard about a lot on this show is a lot of people. But a theme that's come up a lot in the past couple of months is like, you know, constraints breed creativity, and it also gives us a chance to, you know, really pause and look around and examine if the way that we'd sort of been doing things on autopilot is the right way to do it. One thing I've got to ask you, just because I want to know, like, the crisis hit a lot of us here in New York pretty hard because, you know, we were sailing along, everything was going fine, and then it really just kind of, you know, left hooked us off of our pedestal. But because you in Venezuela are no stranger to adversity and making a business run through hard times, without minimizing it or saying that the two are exactly the same or you know, negating the impact of either one, did you feel a little bit more like you were already in that mindset of looking at, okay, how can I, in this situation, under these constraints, not just survive, but thrive?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting perspective. And it's true that we have had to be creative over the last 10 years already to be where we are today. I mean, I don't want to underestimate, obviously, the consequences of COVID, and it has hit us just as hard as anyone else. But it's true that we do have a mindset of being ready for difficult situations, and we are, you know, we're a small company, so we're able to adjust quickly, to make decisions relatively quickly. To adapt to things. I mean, we've very quickly, put some measures in place to, first of all, you know, make sure our people are safe, but then also make sure that we are careful about our expenses and that we are better organized in terms of, you know, being in a virtual setting. We also, you know, try to find ways to keep in touch and in contact with our key people we work with, particularly in the on-trade and, you know, the bartender family and community, which is so important for us. So, we've tried to come up with ways to do virtual happy hours, educational programs. We've looked at, you know, trying to help the community through contests trying to push home delivery cocktails and things like that, so that we can really find ways to just to keep in touch and keep the closeness that has made this whole thing so exciting and so successful. We always say that, you know, the success of Diplomatico, of course, we have a great rum that people love, but we also have a lot of people involved in the brand who have been out there working with a whole lot of other people who are passionate about what they do as well. And it's the combination of all of this that makes it great.
Of course, absolutely, and I definitely want to talk more about some of those programs and ventures that you have. And maybe on the lighter side, talk about what you're drinking these days. But for now, we're at about the halfway point. So we're going to pause for a quick note from some of our sponsors, and we'll be right back with the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Square. We all know that this is an incredibly challenging time for our friends running restaurants and small food businesses. With social distancing in place, people are staying home and eating in, and restaurants have had to pivot to pickup and delivery only. HRN would usually be recording our podcast from our studio inside Roberta's, but since they've had to close their dining room, they've ramped up their frozen pizza production, set up a wine and grocery shop, and seen their delivery orders skyrocket. Like Roberta's, many restaurants have been changing offerings day by day as they figure out how to best serve their customers. If you run a restaurant or a small business, Square has the tools to help you adapt. One of these tools is the Square Online Store. It lets you set up a free online ordering page with curbside pickup and local delivery so you can keep customers safe. You can deliver orders yourself or integrate with delivery partners. Its order hub lets you manage all your incoming orders in one place, no matter which delivery partners you choose to use. Square has all the tools to help you stay connected to customers no matter where they are. See everything that's available by visiting square.com/go/speakeasy.
And we're back. You're listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. Today we're talking with Edward Beasley from Diplomatico. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about what we're all drinking in quarantine. We've all got our Diplomatico Reservas here and our Reserva Exclusivas in our remote studios. Clearly, I've been enjoying it. And our two remote studios in Brooklyn and California. But Edward, what are you drinking, and how would you adapt some of the Diplomatico line to people that are looking at, well, that are looking to and have to drink more cocktails from home these days?
Look, well, I was saying before that I really like the one with the coconut water ice cube, which is super easy to make. You just have to make those ice cubes, and then you pour your Diplomatico Reserva Exclusiva on top of them. So that's an easy one. But I also enjoy very much the Negronis. So that's another easy thing to do, because it's basically three equal parts of Diplomatico, Campari, and vermouth over ice. So that's another one that it is an easy one to do at home.
Yeah, it's delicious. And also, I love pointing out that all three of those things are non-perishable, so they're kind of ideal for when you're trapped at home and can't get out and get things like coconut water or limes. Even those three things can just sit on your shelf, and you've got a cocktail ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm a huge, I love old fashions. I love rum old fashions, probably the most out of the old fashioned. I'm a huge American whiskey drinker, but when it comes to an old fashioned, if I were going to pick one, if I had to pick one, I would go with a rum old fashioned. I've used Diplomatico. I had one once with the Ambassador Diplomatico that was amazing, obviously. But yeah, I mean, typically what I do at Grand Army is I'll make it with Diplomatico, with the Reserva Exclusiva. And then I typically, Southern's the bitters guy, but do you know the, have you ever had a bitters? It's called Forest Floor.
No, who makes it?
No.
It was this small company that I think it comes from Wisconsin or Indiana, one of those states. And it's really hard to find. They used to make it back in the day, then they discontinued it and started making it again. But it's got really heavy like spice notes to it, and it's awesome. Actually, Tiki Adam is the one who turned me on to it. He found it somewhere, and so I've got a couple of bottles of old, well, reserve. So like I'll do a double reserve with that bitters, and it's really awesome. And I typically when I do an old fashioned with whiskey, I do an orange and a lemon twist. It's pretty standard for the cocktail bar world, but with a rum old fashioned, I usually just do an orange twist. Just keep it kind of simple. I also like even before like quarantine, my thing is like I would always batch cocktail. I go camping a lot, so like I would always want to batch cocktails, and you know, bringing an old like a bottled old fashioned with you, and you want to garnish it, but you don't want to like bring a ton of other stuff with you. So you know, typically just bring an orange, and you know, you can garnish like 8 to 12 of them if you just do like small discs. But yeah, I'm a huge aged rum old fashioned kind of dude. But I like what you said about the Negroni. I mean, like I think this rum, especially the one that we're all drinking right now, it plays really well into a Negroni, which would, I mean, to me, it's more along the lines of like a Boulevardier, but that's just nerding out.
Yeah. Well, it's got that rich body, up against rich sweet vermouth, and then this cutting bitter from Campari. Like, yeah, it's definitely.
And I've used the Bruto Americano from St. George Spirits.
St. George, yeah, love it.
That stuff works really, really well with this rum.
Yeah, that stuff slaps. Yes.
Yeah,
I guess overall, I just like like more of a bolder bitter with this rum. Maybe it's because it's a very rich rum too. I guess maybe it just works because they're bigger, bolder flavors. You know,
sure.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I think we love to use Diplomático in typical whiskey or bourbon drinks.
Yeah.
Because you know they have some, you know, actually a lot of similarities, and you know I always like to surprise my friends who are, you know, strong whiskey drinkers and say, well, you know, why don't you try, and old fashioned is, you know, is one of them. Don't you try to make a twist on your usual cocktail and try it with rum? And they're always like, rum? You know, what do you mean, really? And then you know they get into it and they're like, Wow, yeah, that's good. That's really good. I think there's there's always this perception about rum that, you know, it's a bit standard. It's not so exciting.
I totally disagree with that.
I go the opposite direction.
To me, it's the most exciting. It's one of the most exciting spirit categories because one, it can be made anywhere around the world, so long as it's made from sugar. Of some sort. It can be cane. It can be made from molasses, you know, there's no like DOC, AOC kind of situation with rum to where it can only be made this way in this one region of this one country. You know, it can be made anywhere. And that's what I always say. Rum's pretty outlaw when it comes to that. You know, it can take a lot of different shapes.
Definitely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of different styles and different, opportunities to really express, a way to make it in different places. So that's what's so exciting about rum. And actually, you know, I always think rum is sometimes a bit underrated versus the whiskeys or the cognacs of this world. But honestly, it requires the same kind of know-how to do. It's really an art. And you know the result that you get from mixing it or even just sipping it is actually very quite amazing, and there's a lot to discover in it, and that actually has been, you know, one of our missions over the years to really get people to rediscover what rum can be as a beautiful premium drink. And And that's what has happened over the last 10 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I think that, I mean, I, like a lot of people in this country, learn to drink in dorm rooms primarily. And when you do that, you know, you have this sense that like, oh, whiskey, like that's this kind of like very refined spirit that's to be respected. And rum kind of gets relegated to spring break a little bit. And it's one of the joys of delving deeper into this business and just kind of the craft of where spirits come from is finding out the versatility that the spirits had, that the spirit rum has, and all of the different places. I mean, we were just talking, it's perfect in an old fashioned, it's perfect in a Negroni. Like off the top of my head, I can't think of really a place where I wouldn't want rum to go just because there's so much versatility in that category.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really the great fun of working and drinking rum is really that the versatility. And I think, you know, I also say often that, you know, this is, rum is actually a serious drink that doesn't take itself too seriously. It requires a lot of effort and, you know, a lot of passion and a lot of know-how. And then it's just about enjoyment and pleasure and sharing and being together. And that's what, you know, life should be all about in normal times, at least.
Totally. I think these guys are probably going to say I sound like a broken record, but recently I've been on this crazy tonic kick lately, and I've been like just trying everything with tonic, and not necessarily like going too crazy. I mean, I had a chartreuse and tonic the other day for Chartreuse Day on 1605, and it was awesome. But like, rum and tonic is pretty classic, and I've been doing that. Also, I my flask always has rum in it, an aged rum in it, when I go fishing. Like, there's something about like, and it doesn't have to be on a boat. I get the connection of being on a boat and drinking rum, but like, even if I'm just like at a river or like a pond or lake, like I always have a flask of rum, and I switch it up, but like, I don't know, it's, there's like no occasion that I found in life that wasn't enhanced with a little bit of rum. Hunter Thompson probably right now, but
no, I mean, I would actually kind of agree. I hadn't really thought about it too much, but my flask is typically rum as well. I think it's a good pocket spirit. You know, it's got enough flavor on its own. It's okay being drank neat or maybe even a little bit warm from being in your pocket. Like,
exactly.
You're right.
I
drink a lot of whiskey, but I think I have rum in my flasks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about like when you go to like Martinique and you're drinking tea punch, you know, like there's no ice in it typically. I mean, you can get it with ice, but typically it's made with just lime and
if you want to get laughed at.
Yeah. But
you want to get laughed at or made fun of.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but you drink tea punch like room temperature, and typically that room doesn't have walls and it's on a beach, you know? Yeah. And so if you have it in your pocket and it's warm, it's like fine. You know, it's a very forgiving spirit. And typically, like, you know, there are some very crazy, funky rums out there, but even those I find to be somewhat refreshing. Do I sound like an alcoholic? No. Like, you know, on certain occasions, it's like more about like, just, it's not like drinking like a Fernet or like a barrel strength whiskey or something like that, you know, out of that flask and at room temperature. It's like, it just works. Rum just works.
Indeed. I mean,
it's worked for centuries, you know?
Yeah. Edward, how did you come to be in the position that you're in as the global marketing guy of this family-owned brand? Do you know the families? Are you part of the families? How did you break into this part of the field?
Well, I've worked in the world of wines and spirits most of my life in different bigger groups. More recently, I've decided that I wanted to work more in a more entrepreneurial area, and I actually started my career in Venezuela many years ago, and at the time had some connections with people who today are running Diplomatico. And we reconnected, along the way and a bit more recently. I got back into it and got really, really excited about, you know, working again with in a small entrepreneurial context with with a brand that has a lot to do around the world. So that was very exciting project for me, and that's how I got back into it. And I have to say that whether you are in the in the family as a family member or just as a person who works very closely with everyone, we always call the Diplomatico family, and you feel like you are part of the family, and that's what makes it fantastic, and what why you really want to be out there and just be part of this great company.
Yeah, amazing. I want to talk a little bit as we approach the end of the show here, about COVID a little bit. How is the distillery operating right now? Are you on lockdown? Are people able to go to work? If they are, what's the production like? Like, how are things going on the ground?
So on the ground right now, we are operating with a very very small number of people. So we have all the people who can actually work from home, and then we have a very small group of people who are at the distillery and who just make sure that the basics of the distillery still continues to function. But we're talking about a group of maybe 20 or 30 people at the time. So when we normally have about 500 people, so it's a but we are continuing to run it at a very low level. We've also over the past weeks we've made some high proof alcohol that we've donated locally as well, so that has kept us a bit busy as well
For making sanitizing agents.
Yeah, exactly. So we've donated at this point something like around 60,000 liters of that, and I think this is still ongoing, so it'll probably be more. So that's it's a small contribution that we try to make, and then around the world, it's all the people who work for us are basically working from home at this point, and not traveling, obviously, but that's how we've managed. And I think that what we're very proud of is that during those times we have kept everyone on board, and we will, we've organized ourselves so that we can maintain everyone on board for as long as it takes to be back to normal.
Right. And, that's the variable right now. None of us know when that is going to be, and nor do we know what that's going to be. Is normal going to be normal? I don't foresee it being the same. We're going to all have to make some changes to meet the new landscape. It's good to know that you're out there doing what you can with what you have and giving back to the community in that way. That's great.
Indeed. And absolutely. Drinking rum the whole time.
And drinking rum the whole time.
I think we have We have definitely kept this positive outside to the world. I think in those times, everyone is still out there trying to keep their connections going with all their friends out there. I can't count the number of drinks we've had on Zooms of all sorts, all around the world, with all sorts of people. We're doing a lot of education as well, and presentations to both in trade and consumers, and just trying to keep it vibrant, keep it fun, keep it exciting. We're still alive. The world is still out there. Our loved ones. We were lucky that we didn't have any case of COVID among the personnel, so that's a cause for celebration, I guess.
Heck yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Yeah, keep it vibrant, fun, and exciting, just like rum.
Yeah,
there you go.
Speaking of, my glass is almost empty, so I guess that means we're probably at the end of the show.
Indeed.
But yeah, we would love to have you back on the show sometime, and hopefully next time we chat, we'll be able to see each other in person.
That would be great. Yeah. Really appreciated the opportunity. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. So if you don't know, which would be crazy for our listeners out there, Diplomatico Rum is, I mean, I see it everywhere I go. I mean, for a small company, it's got legs, you know, so you can definitely find it. If you haven't tried it, try it, because I mean, it's 100% across the board what we're drinking today. And indeed, I think we can all agree that we're really into it.
I'm feeling real good.
Feeling real good.
Oh, yes.
So check out Diplomatico Rums. They're very cool. Thanks for being on the show today, Edward. We'll catch up with you soon. And guys, that's it for me. You got anything to say before we sign off?
I think that's a wrap on my end.
All right, cool. I know you got to get to another show. We're staying busy these days, which is pretty cool.
I feel like it's busier than normal, frankly.
Right, exactly. I love it. Oh, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for plenty more shows like this one. Click on the beating heart to donate to the station. And until next time we chat, cheers, y'all.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Thank
you. So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna
get you some. The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like. Tell your friends. And please, join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.